Deep brain stimulation, it's not a therapy of the future. It's available today at Shands at the University of Florida for a variety of movement disorders and other conditions, such as obsessive-compulsive disorder. Hello, listeners, and welcome to another Shands HealthCast. My name is Garrett Hall, and it's my privilege to have in the studio with me today two co-directors of the UF Movement Disorders Center, neurologist Dr. Michael Oken and neurosurgeon Dr. Kelly Foote. These gentlemen are a couple of specialists who have been making news during the past few years because of their research and treatments using deep brain stimulation for movement disorders, especially Parkinson's disease. Dr. Oken, it's great to have you here today.
Thanks for having me here. It's a pleasure and an honor to come and talk about Parkinson's disease and movement disorders and where we're going in the future.
And Dr. Foote, a warm welcome to you.
Thanks, Garrett. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our program.
As always, listeners, at the end of every Shands HealthCast, we'll let you know the number to call if you need to schedule an appointment with Drs. Oken, Foote, or one of their colleagues, so stay tuned for that number. I had the opportunity to get to know both of you a little bit before this interview, and it's clear to me that you are passionate about what you do. You are very creative in how each of you approaches the treatment of movement and other disorders. Your unique ideas and creativity have led to the formation of this nationally renowned Movement Disorders Center. Dr. Oken, sum up for me the vision of this center.
To bring together scientists, investigators, clinicians, coordinators, people that really wanted to make a difference in the lives of patients by developing new therapies and in delivering the right type of care.
So the story I'm told is that Dr. Oken went around the entire UF campus and talked to everyone, researchers, scientists, the list goes on, who had an interest in movement disorders. Dr. Foote, how does he get this great group of minds to come together here to form the network of specialists who make up the Movement Disorder Center? What was his recruiting message? What did he say to them?
Hey, we want you to join this new center, and we're all going to sit in the same room, and we're going to make some serious progress in the research on these disorders and how to better treat these patients. And something magical happens when you get a bunch of really smart people who have similar interests in the same room.
Dr. Oken?
We felt like we could put together a dream team to really address these disorders and make a difference for people.
So now we have researchers who address all different aspects of Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders, all in the same place and collaborating in a bunch of different ways that we would have never thought of at the time.
And from what I understand, neurosurgeons and neurologists typically work within their individual academic silos, if you will. But I don't think that's the case here, right, Dr. Foote?
I believe we're the only neurosurgeon-neurologist partnership in the world where the neurologist has done a surgically-oriented fellowship and the surgeon has done a neurologically-oriented fellowship.
And so why establish this Movement Disorder Center in Florida? What was the draw, Dr. Oken?
Florida had a rich population of underserved people. There really wasn't anybody doing this kind of work. There wasn't a vision for bringing together the best minds to tackle these problems. And we were looking at one of the states with the fastest growth in the entire country and the fastest growth in the over age 60 population. And so they were going to be stuck with the largest burden.
And so, Dr. Oken, these diseases, these movement disorders tend to afflict primarily the elderly population?
These diseases tend to pick on elderly patients, but it's not only age that puts you at risk. You can have most of these diseases, even Parkinson, in your teens or in your 20s.
Okay, what are we talking about here? What exactly is a movement disorder, Dr. Oken?
There are these circuits in the brain that misfire and communicate in funny ways. And when that happens, people can get shaking or stiffness or slowness. And sometimes they can get funny tics or movements that cause social embarrassment or may even cause them to lose their job or a loved one.
Dr. Foote, Parkinson disease, and by the way, for our listeners out there, we did debate prior to this interview, is it Parkinson's disease or Parkinson disease? And I'm told that it is either or. Parkinson's disease is a big focus here. It's a disease that's talked about widely in the media, and it's on the minds of many Americans. What is Parkinson's disease, and how does it affect people?
For me, Parkinson's disease is not someone who has a shaking hand, and it's not Michael J. Fox on TV with a bunch of involuntary flailing movements because he's overdosed on his medications because he's afraid that he's going to be a bad interview if he doesn't take enough medication and he's frozen. For me, Parkinson's disease is a trap that makes it so you can't move the way you want to move. And I use that word trap on purpose because it's a mnemonic that I use to teach the medical students about Parkinson's disease. TRAP stands for tremor, rigidity, or stiffness, akinesia, which in Latin means no movement, and postural instability. And those are sort of the cardinal moving problems that Parkinson patients have.
Okay, Dr. Okun, what's your take or perspective on Parkinson's disease?
You know, I think that this notion that I have Parkinson's disease and it should be a death sentence and I should go into my house and, you know, and take care of my will and tell my children what needs to be done and doesn't need to be done is really a misconception. It's a myth. It's not like Alzheimer's disease where you lose your memories and get confused and you sort of become a shell of a person. This is a disease where we actually have some really wonderful treatments, medical and surgical, and it might surprise you to know a disease that can be well managed for many years, even on just medications alone.
Dr. Okun, I know that Parkinson's disease brings with it not just motor function issues, but also non-motor function issues. It's part of the biological impact that Parkinson's disease has on an individual. We're talking about depression, anxiety, sexual dysfunction. Here at the Movement Disorder Center, what do you tell people who present with those non-motor function conditions? Are they treatable?
Totally treatable. And if you don't feel good, you're not going to have a good life. And so we can treat the motor manifestations and we can treat the non-motor manifestations.
Let's get into how you gentlemen treat these disorders using a technique called deep brain stimulation. Now, I know that I'm talking to a neurosurgeon and a neurologist, and both of you may have slightly different definitions and explanations of what deep brain stimulation is. Dr. Foote, we'll start with you. Let's get your definition of deep brain stimulation, or DBS.
Deep brain stimulation is a pacemaker for the brain. And actually, in some ways, looks like a cardiac pacemaker. For people who are familiar with those, there's a pulse generator that has a battery that delivers electrical impulses through a wire that, in this case, instead of the wire going into the heart and pacing the heart, it's a wire that goes under the skin up to the top of the head and through a small hole that's drilled into the skull into a very precisely selected location in the brain to deliver stimulation to a malfunctioning part of the brain. And what we've found is that by stimulating malfunctioning centers in the brain, we can interrupt pathologic signals in that big computer that is our brain and alleviate the symptoms of Parkinson's disease, tremor, and a lot of other disorders, actually.
Okay, Dr. Foote, before we talk about some of those other disorders you treat using DBS, I want to get Dr. Okun's DBS definition. I've heard this story a couple of times before, and I think our listeners will really enjoy hearing Dr. Okun's explanation of DBS.
We have the ability to neuromodulate or change the way that brain regions are talking to each other. And we can listen to these cells, and we can even influence them by moving different body parts and seeing how they respond. And we've been able to create a wonderful map of how all these tiny little islands in your brain are talking to each other. And in very simple, basic terms, we decided to stick an electrode into the brain and make these different islands talk to each other in different ways, maybe in more normal ways. So we eavesdrop. It doesn't sound nice, but we eavesdrop on their conversation. We change it a little bit, and by changing it, we can dramatically improve the symptoms. And so the therapy of neuromodulating, of simply sticking a lead in and putting electricity into small couple of millimeter area spaces within the brain is called deep brain stimulation. We're turning America into a bionic age.
Okay, what do you mean by a bionic age?
We have 30, 40,000 people who are walking the planet with these implantable devices in their brain. It's kind of like cardiac pacemakers were a few years ago. Watch out. In 20 years, there's going to be a lot, tens of thousands of people with these devices. And we're treating all sorts of different diseases, not just Parkinson.
Okay, I know that both of you gentlemen are chomping at the bit to discuss the broader applications and other uses for DBS, and we'll get there in just a moment. But before we get into that discussion, Dr. Okun, talk to us about how you tailor DBS therapy for Parkinson patients.
We've begun to understand, both through accidental side effects that occur when we put these electrodes in, and also accidental and sometimes intentional benefits, ways in which the brain is wired that we can take advantage of. And this now allows us a window to be able to tailor therapy for patients. And so you can imagine a future where if you're a Parkinson patient and you have a walking problem, we're going to implant a certain part of the brain that allows your legs to move better. If you're a Parkinson patient and you have depression, we're going to go after that area that will bring you hope and bring some euphoria and some laughter back to your life.
Okay, now let's talk about the broader applications for DBS. What other conditions, diseases can you treat here using DBS, and what other clinical trials are in place to explore broader applications of DBS? Dr. Foote, we'll start with you.
The first disorder that we started treating other than the FDA-approved indications of Parkinson's disease and tremor and dystonia was obsessive-compulsive disorder. There is a subpopulation of patients with obsessive-compulsive disorder who don't respond to the medical therapies and who don't respond to other interventions like psychotherapy that for a lot of patients are fairly effective. And these patients can be profoundly disabled by obsessive-compulsive disorder. And those are the patients where it may make sense to try some more radical intervention like brain surgery.
Mm-hmm. And talk about the beginning stages of treating OCD patients with DBS and the success you had early on.
We did a pilot study evaluating deep brain stimulation to treat six patients who had profoundly debilitating obsessive-compulsive disorder that wouldn't respond to any other therapy. And four of the six patients had a really remarkable response and got their lives back. And we were pretty excited about that. And we've been collaborating with a few other deep brain stimulation teams around the world. And among us, we have implanted now 60 patients with horrible obsessive-compulsive disorder. And the average was about two-thirds of the patients have had a nice response to deep brain stimulation therapy. And keep in mind that these patients are the worst of the worst who have failed all other treatments and who are profoundly disabled.
Okay, I know it doesn't stop at OCD. I know you have about 30 clinical trials underway to target a number of conditions using DBS. Dr. Okun, I'll let you field this one.
Now that we're understanding and getting better at this type of work, it's being applied to multiple types of movement disorders, neuropsychiatric disorders, and even other disorders in medicine. And now we've begun to do the surgeries for things like Tourette syndrome, obsessive compulsive disorder, cluster headaches, epilepsy, tremors, dystonias. And so the list is going to evolve because as we understand neurological diseases better, we'll be better equipped to intervene in the appropriate way.
Okay, Dr. Foote, anything significant that Dr. Okun left out that you want to make sure we cover today?
We have a study treating disabling tremor secondary to multiple sclerosis. So patients with multiple sclerosis can get this horrible tremor in their arms that is very debilitating. Patients who have a history of a head injury who will later develop this similar tremor also can be included in that trial. We have a couple of trials that are soon to begin to treat major depressive disorder, to treat walking problems, and a few other things that, you know, we're pretty excited about.
And so what's the number of DBS stimulators that you've implanted to date? I know that you're currently up to about 3 DBS procedures per week.
We have now implanted somewhere between 400 and 450 deep brain stimulators since we started doing this.
So to our listeners out there who are considering DBS for themselves or a family member or loved one, how does somebody know if they're a good candidate for DBS surgery?
Certain types of people and certain types of disorders tend to respond better. And that may be because we don't know the right regions for everything yet. And that's part of the discovery of this area. But it's important, if it is possible to do something for you, that you get evaluated to see if maybe you're in that group of patients that might be a good candidate for the surgery. And as we do more and more, we get better at picking the right candidates. And when we pick the right candidates, when you go to surgery, you can expect even more success.
And so how do you pick the right candidate? How do you know?
The patients who are responding well to their medications, and the main medication in Parkinson is levodopa, are the ones that seem to derive the most benefit from the surgery in its current technological form.
Okay, Dr. Okun, so how do you know who's not a good candidate for DBS?
We have some difficulty offering DBS to patients who have cognitive problems, lots of thinking problems. It's not a complete contraindication or reason not to do surgery, but it's something that worries us because we never want to do an operation and have people end up being better motorically so they can move better, but their thinking has been impaired to a point where they're having difficulty functioning. And so it's that delicate balance. And so anybody who considers DBS needs to go to a center that's going to carefully evaluate what their off-medication response is, how they respond to medications on. And it's usually done by a standardized scale by a qualified neurologist or movement disorders neurologist. You need to see a neurosurgeon, a neuropsychologist, and the neuropsychologist will check your thinking out. And in our center, we even have you see a psychiatrist because of all these non-motor features, depression, anxiety. These things need to be treated because you're going to need to remain awake during the surgery, and also you're going to have lots of interaction in the process of programming these devices. Once implanted, you may end up back in the neurologist's office as frequently as once a month for the first 6 months. That's because there are thousands of different combinations that a DBS device can be programmed to optimize your particular symptom profile. Your medications will need to be adjusted, and in many cases, they'll go down. You may need to take them less frequently.
Okay, Dr. Foote, I promise we're going to get back to you in just a moment. Dr. Okun, patients taking medication for a movement disorder may experience different durations of on time, which is defined as the time their symptoms are controlled and alleviated by the medication. And over the course of the disease, patients may need to take more and more medication to stay in their on time. Too much medication could result in extra movements or dyskinesia. Too little may make a patient stiff or rigid. How does DBS affect a patient's on time?
One of the wonderful things about the deep brain stimulation is that it really allows people to get to their best medication on state and stay there because it's delivering electrical stimulation continuously throughout the day and throughout the night, so sometimes even helping patients to sleep. We really want to choose those patients that are yo-yoing up and down. They're off a lot of the time. They're on a lot of the time. But when they're on, they're getting these extra movements that are really disabling. And so they're fluctuating between their best on, their worst off, and then being on too much.
Dr. Foote, over to you now. The Movement Disorder Center, it's not just you and Dr. Okun involved here. We don't have them in our studio today, but Drs. Hubert Fernandez and Ramon Rodriguez play a big role in the center as well. It's a variety of people, as we touched on during the opening of this healthcast. It's a whole host of folks sharing their expertise and their experience, and they're collaborating. How does a DBS patient benefit from all this?
We see a lot of patients with these disorders. Let's say Parkinson's disease. We see so many patients here that have Parkinson's disease that we monopolize the time of the support services that we refer the patients to. For example, the physical therapist. We see so many patients with Parkinson's disease that we have a physical therapist that has no time to do anything all day long but see patients with Parkinson's disease. Well, that guy or girl, after a year of seeing nothing but Parkinson patients, is now a Parkinson specialist. We're not just sending our patients to see a physical therapist. We're sending our patients to see a Parkinson's physical therapist. And we have those specialists now in physical therapy, in occupational therapy, in speech and swallowing therapy, in neuropsychology, in psychiatry, and all of the domains that touch the lives of our patients with these disorders. They now have a specialist in each of those areas.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Okun, anything you want to add about the team?
We have neurologists, we have neurosurgeons, neuropsychologists, speech people, experts in physical therapy, occupational therapy, social work, scientists, people who are scientists in how you walk, scientists in how you blink, scientists in how you twitch, how you move. We wanted to bring these people out of the laboratories, interface them with the patients, and begin to develop therapies and to develop care models that make sense.
Well, it sounds like you've covered just about every base. Dr. Foote, you treat a patient, okay? Once the surgery is done, how often does that patient need to come back to you for an evaluation? How do you know if the DBS stimulator is working as it should, if it's correcting the problem?
We ask our patients up front if they're willing to let us learn from them. And most of them are. And we do learn from them. And we keep track of everything. We ask them, can we use your data, your treatment results in our research database? For example, a patient with Parkinson's disease has a very thorough evaluation prior to the decision whether or not they should have deep brain stimulation. But that thorough evaluation serves as a preoperative snapshot of the patient, the before picture. And at 4 months, we have another kind of thorough evaluation, 4 months after the surgery, and another one at 6 months after the surgery. And those evaluations serve as the postoperative picture. Okay, so we have the before photo and the after photo so that we can really see what kind of a difference we've made for these people. And then, of course, we like to evaluate people carefully at least once a year.
And what have you learned from your patients during these follow-up evaluations? Is everything working as it should?
We've actually been pleased that the benefit that people are getting from deep brain stimulation therapy seems to be durable. And so far, the vast majority of people are getting long-lasting benefit in terms of relief of their symptoms from the movement disorders that are being treated with deep brain stimulation.
Okay, Dr. Okun, back over to you. Any final parting thoughts?
Everybody's different. Everybody needs a little bit of a different approach in order to treat them optimally and treat them with the respect and empathy that they need to get better.
Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground today, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I think you've just inspired hope in a lot of people who may have a movement disorder or know someone who is living with a movement disorder or one of the other conditions that we talked about today. Listeners, Doctors Okun and Foote are just a phone call away. Their staff can help you schedule a DBS evaluation. Please call us toll-free at 866-931-1185. A professional service representative will be happy to connect you with the appropriate appointment scheduler within our system. Please remember that this toll-free number is only to schedule a new patient appointment. Dr. Okun, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been a great pleasure to sit and discuss really important topics, and it's just critically important that we have these opportunities to deliver the education that the public needs about these diseases. So thank you for having me.
And Dr. Foote, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Garrett. It's been a pleasure.
Well, that's all for now. This is Garrett Hall. Take care. Thank you for listening to Shan's HealthCast. Shands Healthcare will continue to provide healthcasts covering a wide variety of general health issues. If you would like to subscribe to Shands Healthcast or would like more information on this or other topics, please visit shands.org/healthcast. Shands Healthcare is a private, not-for-profit healthcare system affiliated with the University of Florida. Shands includes 8 hospitals, an affiliated network of more than 80 UF primary and specialty clinical practices, and a medical staff of more than 1,500 UF faculty and community physicians. For more information about our hospital system, visit shands.org. There you'll find an illustrated medical health encyclopedia, care guides for specific conditions such as diabetes and high blood pressure, maps and directions, information about all Shands hospitals and services, and links to other healthcasts. UF and Shands, the science of hope.